You know, it's been one of the stories circulating around there because it made the front page of the New York Times. It's, I would always argue it's rarely a good thing to make the front page of the New York Times. It's one of those scary things like, hey, 60 Minutes is in the lobby.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No good comes of that.
But it was a report, and it talked about the number of officer-involved shootings in the city of Phoenix. Now, we're not talking about the Valley. We're literally talking about the city of Phoenix. And it had reaction from a variety of people, including one of our guests in studio right now, Ken Crane, is the president of PLEA, joining us. And we want to talk about this situation and understand a little bit better, at least coming from the police officers union. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Bruce, thanks for having us in here today. Appreciate it.
So you're quoted in this as well. And we had Chief Williams on about an hour ago and asked her some of these same questions. And I'll give you a chance for this. Councilman DeCiccio is one of the ones who made an argument that the citizenry of Phoenix proper is more violent or more prone to be violent towards police officers. Is that a statement you can agree with? And if so, help me understand it.
Yes and no. We don't want to. We got to be careful about painting with a broad brush. Or all
sure.
the citizens more? No, they're not. We got a lot of law-abiding people. The police department has to deal with that like 2% out there. It's the 2% that we deal with 95% of the time. That's how I like to put it to people.
You keep running in the same people over and over again.
Absolutely. And people don't call us to deal with law-abiding people. They call us to deal with lawbreakers and people that
sure.
are threatening their safety. So, yeah, you know, I sat down and I interviewed with Mr. Otful of the New York Times. He came into the city. He was boots on the ground. He was going around interviewing people. We opened our doors to him at the police union. Britt and I here sat down with him in my office for an hour and 47 minutes because I recorded it. That's how long I know it was. And so you see what he chose to extract out of my interview and put in the end of the article. I did say that we talked about, hey, there's an easy way to stop this. If you're confronted by the police, submit to lawful authority, sort it out later, but let's not hold court in the streets. So, yeah.
Okay, and you referenced Britt London is the vice president of PLEA, soon to become president, by the way, so it's good to have you as well
Thank
in
you.
Here.
Let me see here. There we go. I wanted to react a little bit. Why am I so weird, though? There we go. I wanted to react a little bit to what you said there, Ken. And again, we've got Ken Crane, the president of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association, PLEA, which is the main police union here in Phoenix. You know, in the statement, in this article, you said, we all go home safe if everybody remembers this one little word, compliance. And I agree with you. But I'm going to take the opposite approach to that.
Okay.
Not complying with an officer does not mean I should be shot does not mean that I should be taken to the ground. And I'm using some extreme examples here to prove my point. But not complying doesn't mean that that is why we're seeing 41 officer-involved shootings in Phoenix. Is that do you agree with that statement or no?
Well, I agree with you partially. And let me just say that – and so saying that – If we comply, everybody has a better chance of going home safe. Well, there's truth in that statement.
Sure
now,
there
is. Now, to your point, when we come up to somebody, if I say, sir, step out of the car. Well, why? Why do I have to? And am I going to pull him? Am I going to shoot him? No, I hope not. I mean, that's a little bit excessive there, and somebody's going to lose their job and go to prison, as they should. However, in the police world, and this is borne out by Supreme Court case law, when we come in contact, we have a right to control that scene or situation or scenario. We have the right to order you out of your car. We have the right to order you back into your car if you get out of the car. And so we have a philosophy that we train people. It's called ask, tell, make. I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Then I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to make you. Okay. To control
That's the
situation.
The escalation, if you will, the steps you go through.
Correct. Now, sometimes that means I'm going to open your door and help you get out of the car and guide you over and go, listen, I need you to sit right here, right now. Okay. You're being detained. And sometimes, and usually when it's to the point, this is sometimes where it gets a little dicey, where we try to do this. And then people start struggling, resisting, fighting against us. And under the law, you can't do that.
Right.
I'm going to introduce it again. Who's in studio with us again? We're talking to Ken Crane, the president of police. Sitting next to him is Britt London, the vice president. And can I bring it back to this a little bit? Because I want to what I'm trying to understand, and this gets into kind of this root of this issue and some of the statements that have been made back and forth. Can you help us understand is there something unique about Phoenix that's caused 41 officer-involved shootings? And I just keep bringing up more than New York, more than Chicago, Los Angeles. Is there something unique about Phoenix proper?
Nobody knows. That's the $64,000 question. That's why the chief wants to do the study. Now, to that point, I'll bring up a few points that I made here previously. And I had written an article a while back. We posted on our website. It's still there. I can even give you a copy. And I said, let's talk about a lot of contributing factors to why I think we're seeing this spike in violence. So in a nutshell, we have understaffing. We turned hiring off for 6 years. We got dangerously understaffed. Chief Williams came to town, had to strip 150 detectives out of their jobs and 15 supervisors and put them on the front lines. That's a department in crisis, okay? Is there a greater chance for violence between an officer and a citizen who is a bad guy if one shows up or if three shows up? Okay, less chance if three cops show up because they calculate the odds and go, okay, I'm not going to fight today. So when you're understaffed, you got a lot more cops running to calls maybe without backups. One of four border states, violent drug and human smuggling traffic that come across the border. We have a growing transient and homeless population.
But doesn't San Diego have some of these same issues? This is a city that is about the same size as Phoenix.
El Paso?
And they're not seeing the same numbers as we are here in Phoenix.
Correct. And so
it's probably not one thing. It's a combination of things.
Yes,
I can acknowledge that.
I can go through a litany of reasons.
Fair enough.
And so, and I won't. I won't continue to bore you.
We have a time constraint.
Yeah. And so, I'm sure when the chief came in, she talked about numbers.
Yep.
And so, 35 out of the 41, we are up against people with guns.
Had a gun. I asked the chief specifically about this. Did all 35 of those people brandish a weapon or threaten an officer with it? And she said, that is not a true statement to say every single one of them did. And my argument back was, in Arizona, in the city of Phoenix, we got a heck of a lot of people that carry guns. Is that in and of itself part of the problem?
I don't think so, because the vast majority of people out there that are carrying concealed weapons are law-abiding citizens. You have to go through a background check to carry a concealed weapon, to get a permit. You got to get fingerprinted. You've got a lot of law-abiding folks carrying guns.
Sure.
You have people that maybe are mentally unstable that get a gun, or criminal elements that get one off the street. And let's say they're not brandishing the weapon at a cop, but maybe it's another citizen.
And
okay?
Police have to intervene with that, obviously.
Absolutely. We have to keep the citizenry safe. So you had 35 of those. And to that point, let me just digress. Mr. Opfel called me Friday for some final follow-up, and he goes, is there a rule that the police officers must give a warning before they pull the trigger? I said, no. We don't have a specific policy that states that's a dangerous policy to have, because things can erupt in a tenth of a second where you have to react, and a warning's not feasible.
Using that warning takes away your reaction time.
Correct. It can. I said, but now let's talk about it logically. Most times when an officer has their gun out, what are you going to hear them saying if you're out close proximity? Get on the ground. Drop
Compliance,
the gun. Drop the knife. Blah, blah, blah. You're going to hear all this stuff being given 99% of the time. There might be rare instances where we can't give the warning. Going down to the stats, I'm sure she told you this, four people had edged weapons, knives that were threatening.
But threatening is one thing. I understand, I don't want to be an officer, and I have the most respect for individuals who wear the badge every single day. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, having a gun on you while not threatening an officer or anyone else, or having a weapon on you like a knife, but not threatening. I think that we might be doing people a disservice by not breaking those numbers out, because it's easy to say of the 41 officer-involved shootings, 35 people had a gun and 4 had knives. But how many of those actually were attacking or trying to hurt an officer or someone else?
Pretty much all of them, because it's not illegal to walk down the street with a knife in a scabbard.
Correct.
Or a gun in a holster.
Correct.
We don't do that.
But you can carry concealed in
absolutely.
Phoenix as well.
Absolutely. We don't engage people with lethal force for just carrying a knife or a handgun, okay? These are people that are showing active aggression against third-party citizens or officers and failing to comply, and it escalates to the point where somebody goes, if I don't pull the trigger, somebody's going to get bad hurt by this dude.
Yeah.
That's what's happening out there.
Okay, listen, can you stick
around? I'm just
doing
clarification.
No, that's great. And we appreciate it.
I get passionate about it.
As well you should, for goodness sakes. Yeah, we want you to hold on. We're going to continue this discussion.
Okay.
That's Ken Crane. He's the president of PLEA, the Phoenix Law Enforcement Officers Association. Did I get that right? Yeah. So that's the union for the police officers. And we want to continue that discussion as we react to and try to get a handle on specifically what's going on in the city of Phoenix when it comes to officer and civilian interaction and why more and more shots are being fired. That conversation continues next on Arizona's News Station.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
And Ken Crane, the president of PLEA, the Phoenix Police Officers Union, in studio with us as we continue to react to and, well, trying to understand as much as can be understood why the increase, twofold increase in the number of officer-involved shootings in the city of Phoenix this year.
We're at 41 right now, a record.
Hopefully we won't get to 42.
But Ken, you have worked the streets for many years in your career. You talk to officers who are on these streets day in, day out.
Right.
Well, we're waiting for this report, and it'll be coming out next year. You guys are the boots on the ground. You're talking to these men and women.
Right.
What are they telling you is one of the indicators as to why we're seeing these numbers?
What's different? Yeah.
I think here's the reason, and don't ask me to explain why this is happening. We seem to have we've got a lot of seriously mentally ill people that are just out roaming the streets. Okay, they're transient homeless, a lot of mentally ill, a lot of people on drugs, street drugs, psych drugs, and not only that, you have an increasingly growing segment of militant anarchist subset of the population that is out
troublemakers.
There. Sure. I mean, look at recent city council meetings, the Trump rally. I mean, so there's these groups out there, and you run into folks like that think it's their duty, job, obligation to oppose the police, resist the police, fight with police.
And that's newer is what you're saying. Those groups are newer?
Yeah, and encourage that type of activity like it's some kind of God-given right, I guess. And so all these things, you pour them into this cauldron, this melting pot, where you got this stew, if you will, of all these variables. So it's hard to come out and go, here's the one magic reason why we are up at 41.
Yeah, yeah. Ken, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, let me just close with this.
Please.
Let me tell you this. No officer on the street starts their shift hoping they can pull the trigger. Our men and women on the streets have the most skin in the game. They're the ones that roll out the gate every day and go, man, I hope it's a good shift today.
Chief Williams said something similar. Nobody wants to be involved in an officer-involved shooting. That's not how they go to it. Well, we appreciate your time today. We appreciate Chief Williams' time today. That's Ken Crane, the president of PLEA. Phoenix Police Chief Williams with us. If you missed any of this, go back and listen to it on the podcast through KTAR.